CanPL.ca newsroom for this week. Marty and Charlie. We're going to have Anthony Novak on of Cavalry FC.
Oh, that's still right. Weird. That's still weird.
Oh, yeah. Oh, people that know Anthony will know that the interview is already, like, it's in the can. It's amazing. We talk a lot about country music and, like, talk about, like, cowboy boots and stuff. He's driving across the country, and then that was pretty much it. Oh, we also talked about the idea of crossing the Forge cavalry line in the CPL, the first player to do so.
Yeah, he had some interesting takes.
He had some interesting takes on that. He thought that the public opinion was going to be a lot worse for him crossing the line, but we'll get to that obviously shortly. We have to talk about his move from cavalry, from Forge to cavalry, rather, a move that was teased by Tommy Wheeldon Jr. on this very show last week. But maybe we can start with Ryan Telfer at Atletico Ottawa.
Yeah.
That's a big signing that was obviously in the can, and another sort of worst kept secret from Ottawa, if there could be more than one worst. but it's now out there. We also have the best 11s from the Eastern Canadian teams to complete that segment. So you'll see how he fits in with how we see him with Ottawa. But maybe your first reaction to how, frankly, he makes this Ottawa team a lot better. And without a player like that, just looking back on it today, like, they need something like that, right? Especially someone who's experienced the CPL level.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's much of a stretch to say that he's immediately their best player.
Yeah.
Because, like, Ryan Telfer, at the top of his game, he maybe didn't have the greatest 2020, but in 2019, he was one of the best players in the CPL. I mean, he's one of the best guys one-on-one. He can score goals for you. He can create. And he's going to be a really, really important player for Ottawa. He can obviously play a whole load of different roles, so they've got a lot of options with how they kind of line up. And it'll be good for Ryan Telfer as well. I think maybe it was time to move on from York. Obviously, the Island Games were maybe a tough experience for some players, and it wasn't necessarily as impressive as his first season in the CPL, right? So maybe a fresh start with a team that's got a lot of turnover and really kind of building from the ground up, partly building around him now. It'll be, I think, a pretty good situation for him.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned he could play in multiple positions, because that's maybe the key with Ryan coming into this team, is there is quite a bit of flexibility from what we understand about this team, right? I mean, Zach Verhoeven can play up and down the wing. Obviously, Telfer can play across the front four, realistically. And there's lots of flexibility there. I'm glad you mentioned his Island Games as well. Like, something it's easy for people to forget, and we've had coaches and players tell us this, it's like, it was a 7-game season. And if you chop up any 7-game stretch from 2019, there's a chance that Ryan Telfer doesn't score a goal or doesn't contribute, right? It's a fact of life, right? It's just such a small sample size that you can't get caught up in it. But, you know, Ottawa obviously sees something in him that other teams did as well, right? We knew other CPL teams are interested in Ryan Telfer, right? So that's been out there for quite a while. What do you think his best position is?
I've always kind of liked him in the inverted role. Yeah. I know he didn't necessarily, I think he played a lot of time on the left with York, but I think just given his ability to beat guys one-on-one at the CPL level, he can cut in with the ball. I think I'd be a little bit more interested in seeing him over on the right side, where his job is more to kind of bring it inside and do it himself. I mean, Ottawa doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of that kind of creative player at the moment. So if you run a lot more of your attack through Ryan Telfer, especially coming in off the wing there, I think you'll have a better chance at getting the best out of him than just having him, I don't know, whip in crosses or anything like that. So I think that's maybe where I'd want to start him out.
Oh, I'll just wait till you see the Ottawa 11 coming up. No spoilers. okay, Anthony Novak switching Forge for Cavalry. Discussion we had just with him off air, just as we stopped hit recording at the on the interview. Cavalry's going to be a good team. Oliver Minutel joined, obviously, on Thursday as well, back from his injury. Depends how he comes back, obviously, but that's another massive signing. He's coming into his third year in Calgary. That's such a rare feat in the CPL at this point. And for a player that's talented, going forward. And obviously Anthony going into his third season as well. And like, just looking at how they could line up in the spaces and the spots that Novak could take specifically, I think it just makes this Calgary team so much better, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, when we looked at the kind of mock lineups last week, there was a hole at the number nine position. And I think even when we were talking to Tommy about it, he's like, yeah, we're bringing in some forwards, because that was kind of the obvious hole. And they've filled that hole maybe as well as they possibly could, with a guy who has been really consistent at the striker position in the CPL. I mean, he scored some of the coolest goals I think we've seen from CPL players.
That first obviously goal against Pacific was incredible. And then, yes, yeah, obviously the one against Calvary in the Island Games.
And the one in the CONCACAF League, I think it was against Lemenyo, when he took that crazy little flick and then volleyed it in to like save the day and win in the 85th minute. Just unreal.
Yeah.
He's a great player. He'll obviously be, you know, the main point of reference for the front of the attack at Calvary, which will be really interesting. And I mean, it really worked out for Calvary last year with Marcus Haber in that position. And I think at this stage in their careers, I think maybe Anthony Novak can be an even better version of that. Yeah. So, I would watch out for Calvary. I think rumors of their demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Rumors spread specifically by you and only you.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. good thing Tommy's not on this week, eh? Who's going to score more goals this year, Telfer or Novak?
That's a tough one. I think I would say Novak, because I'm a little bit more confident in what the teams are now and in him getting better service. And obviously he's a center forward, but Telfer absolutely has golden boot potential as well. So it could be a battle between those guys and some others for that scoring title.
Wouldn't be surprised to see them both in the top 10. Might lean towards Novak.
I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Canadian women's national team, the Olympics group stage has been set, taking on Japan, Great Britain, not England, and Chile. They just played England. They didn't just play Great Britain, and they beat them 2-0. That's the big dog from this group. But maybe let's pull it back a bit. And what's your rating of this group? I suppose, like, on a, like, 1 to 10, because there are mm-hmm. there are some pretty big teams this tournament. Obviously, like, you know, the United States, which they looks like they may avoid as long as they move on to the first and runner up spot. Thankful to avoid them. Like, how do you rate this group for Canada?
Yeah, in terms of difficulty, maybe like a 7, 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah,
because it's a difficult group. It's definitely going to be challenging, but it obviously could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's immediately a lot worse if you draw the US. You get, like, Canada did kind of luck out getting Japan from the first pot. Mm-hmm. They're rated 11th in the world. Probably a little bit low because they are actually a really good team. But I mean, Canada was always going to have a tough group here because, you know, you go into the draw ranked 8th in the world, you're in pot 3, which means mm-hmm. you're getting at least 2 pretty difficult matchups. But it's going to be tough. I mean, we've seen them play England and, you know, Wales, I suppose, as well.
Oh, yeah, true. Right. That's a good point.
Who will make up. I mean, Great Britain is basically going to be England and like Scotland. Sophie Ingle and some Scottish players. I'm not really sure, but they're a very good team. Japan's a good team as well. I think Canada lost to them like 4-0 in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
which was tough. Playing host nations is always tricky as well. Although, to be fair, Canada has never lost to the host nation at the Olympics, and they've actually beaten the host nation the last 2 tournaments. At the knockout round, no less, because mm-hmm. you know, they won a bronze medal over Brazil and they beat Great Britain in London. So I guess maybe it won't be a problem. And then Chile will be, you know, there's pressure in that game because you kind of have to win that one, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be a similar challenge to Argentina or Wales. I think they're all sort of in the mid 30s range in the world rankings, And I think that maybe there is the most pressure in that game because you kind of have to win it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And I mean, they also goal differential might come into play, especially with that runner up spot. That's or the third place spot, not runner up. That's always sort of tricky in these tournaments. Mm-hmm. Interesting to see. And it also sounds like, Bev Priestman said at a Canada Soccer media call this week that they are looking at trying to play some games in June. So we'll hopefully have some more games to mull over before the Olympics get started in 2020.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
2021.
I cannot wait for these games at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the
so
one.
So excited. Today.
Oh, like, I'm not sure. I'm not like, did you watch the 2002 World Cup at all?
Oh, I don't remember.
Very briefly? Yeah,
I don't remember.
Vaguely? Oh, I remember just trying to watch it. Yeah. I have this vivid memory of like trying to watch, like was it Germany played someone, and then I had to get on the bus. Oh, no, it was Switzerland. And I remember I had to like go to school. I was like, damn, I don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's dive into these best 11s from the Eastern Canadian side. So Charlie picked the West last week. I'm picking the East. I think these were a lot easier than yours, Charlie, not going to lie. let's start with Halifax. I'll show you what I mean. So, the back four, if you're just listening to this, it makes sense. Mateo Restrepo, Giffard, Schall, Doner. And then, in the midfield, it's basically your first pick midfield from last year, save for Jeremy Gagnon-Lapierre. And then obviously Akeem Garcia up top and Christian Rocher in net. This seems very straightforward to me. I'm not sure if you have any critiques on it.
No, I think this is this is basically the same team as last year, but with, you know, individual guys swapped in for other positions. Doner coming in for Ensa at right back, Gagnon Lapierre slotting right into that central midfield spot. I really don't think that they miss a beat here with this lineup.
No. See how I told you it was easier?
Much so easier. Far, yeah.
Okay, let's go quickly to Ottawa. This one might have a little bit more discussion. A back four, we've got Neufeld, John, Milivan Kapoor, Zach Verhoeven. Went for a 4-2-3-1. Chris Minella and Ben McKendry in the holding positions. That might be more of a tactics discussion, but for this, putting them both in because it's the best players possible. And then I think the front four is quite interesting. We've got Jordan Webb, Vidi Martinez, Ryan Telfer, and Malcolm Shaw. Well, yeah. Who's missing out of this group? Who, like, what do you sort of see out of this that you sort of thinking someone got robbed? We need some kind of controversy with this because it does seem
someone
a bit too straightforward.
Robbed. I'm not sure if anybody's been robbed.
Tevin Shaw.
I'm trying to think of players that are still on the bench. I mean, Bernardino is signed. He maybe slots in maybe one of these more attacking midfield roles. One thing that maybe jumps out to me now is I wonder if, as they sort of round out their squad, there might be another fullback coming, because I'm not sure right back is the best spot for Zach Verhoeven.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe a little bit better off further up the field on either side. So I wonder if that's maybe where there's potentially another signing coming, something like that. But I think this is probably a lot of the core is in place here, especially, you know, up the middle with the center backs and central midfield.
Yeah, they have managed to actually retain a surprising amount of players considering first year, right? When you look at something like this. You're bang on. There is quite a bit of flexibility, too. I'd be curious to see how they decide to use specifically Minella and McKendry in the same midfield. Okay, here's a little bit more discussion coming for York. This one's tough. A lot of tactical flexibility in this team as well. Oof. But I don't think they're going to play a 4-4-2, by the way, but... back four, Deedean Abzin, Roger Thompson, Dominic Satora, Krisnovic Ensa, obviously Nico Giannopoulos in goal. And then the midfield, we have Mateo Hernandez, who is one of the international players coming from Argentina, I believe. Nora Verhoeven, Jordan Webb, Michael Petrasso in the midfield. And then up top, we have Sebastian Gutierrez, who scored the CONCACAF Champions League. And then Julian Ulbricht, the signing from Hamburg's youth setup. Who's missing here? Because there is a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, especially with this team's international group. But This seems close.
This is very, very hard to pin down because, I don't know, I've seen like six of these players play before.
That's the other tricky part.
And most of them, or at least half of them, not with this team. So it's just so hard to figure this out. I wonder if maybe not at the start of the season, but perhaps as it goes on, we see more of the younger Canadians getting in a little bit more. You know, your Ijah Halleys and your Isaiah Johnsons and Lowell Wrights and so on. Maybe a Ryan Lindsay gets in there in the back line. I know that we've seen Lisandro Cabrera, excuse me, playing, you know, in the CONCACAF Champions League recently. So maybe he's one of these guys. Again, it's just so tough because there's so many of these international players coming from really good backgrounds. I have no idea what to make of really any of them. I mean, I can look at their resume or their Wikipedia page and be like, wow, this guy's played at some really good clubs, but that doesn't really mean anything until I can see them play. And I'm sure Jimmy Brennan feels the exact same way, as he's not going to put a guy in a starting 11 unless he, you know, earns it in training.
And that's the beauty of this, this exercise.
Yes.
Like it's a struggle. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned like Ijah Halley. They like him at York. He might be someone who you could see on the wing starting. Yeah. If not near the start of the season, if not in the middle. And then other than that, like I really wanted to find a way to put Alvaro Rivero in there, but I just thought I'd have a bit of fun trying to put Albrecht and Cabrera in there because they both come with a lot of pedigree. And I've read their Wikipedia page and Transfer Market. And I know I've heard they're good. I haven't seen them play in person. So
that's the best we can do.
Yes, exactly. Unfortunately, at this stage of the preseason. Forge FC, again.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. Charlie, I'm sorry. I got all the easy ones. I guess the biggest, like the only change from players that aren't returning is Tristan Borges coming in at right wing. Mobabuli still up the middle. That midfield, Cisse, Asnjoti Janssen, Becker, right, the back line. I guess the only other big controversy would be Maxime Tissot not getting into the starting lineup, but it's hard to pick over Kwame Awuah. Like, what? I mean, this is another issue with Forge. Yeah. They don't have that whole lot of players signed, especially players that are new, right? Borges is the only one that's not returning.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, you know, this is what Forge FC looks like. we know what they are. They're a very good team. And even Tristan Borges coming in. I mean, he's a new player, but like we know where Bobby Smyrniotis likes to play him with Forge. He did very well there on that right wing, I think. The only name I think maybe might not be in that 11 that I think might be is Chris Nanko.
Yes. Yes.
Who maybe him and David Chouinard have that competition for the left wing spot. Who knows where it goes? It realistically, Bobby might just change his front three wholesale every game again.
I feel like that's possible.
Absolutely possible. And obviously the back line, it's still steady, but no David Edgar. So
yes,
you've got Dom Samuel in that center back position. Is that the plan? Seems like it right now, but we don't know for sure.
Yep.
So that'll be an interesting one to watch as well. But I mean, yeah, again, that's Forge. Like they're pretty reliable by now. We kind of know what they are.
That's Forge. Not said. It's the same team every year.
And they win. they why win would you change year. It?
Okay. Speaking of Forge, let's quickly switch here to this interview with Anthony Novak. A lot of country music in this interview. Charlie, what's your favorite country music song? I don't think you really got the floor there when we were talking about, I don't know, Randy Travis or whatever it was.
That's probably a good thing. Does Carrie Underwood count as country music?
Yes.
Because Before He Cheats is like one of the greatest bar songs of all time.
Yeah, that one does rock.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a Blake Shelton song I used to listen to in like college, something about a dog or something. I don't remember what it was called. But
something about a dog.
I don't remember what it was called.
But I like that.
I didn't really, you know, look too deeply into it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. We'll leave it at that. All right, Anthony's got to send us his beer playlist. He said it's on there. I got to get a Spotify link for that. We'll spread it around in the DMs later if anyone's interested. Okay.
Can't wait.
Without further ado, Anthony Novak. Well, last week we talked to Tommy Wheeldon Jr., Cavalry FC, and he hinted at a couple new strikers coming to the club. I can safely say, Anthony Novak, we did not expect you to be one of those guys. And I mean, yeah. So maybe we could start there. Switching forge for Cavalry in a sense. I know you had a stop in Portugal that we'll get to, but maybe the first question is, like, why Cavalry?
I think of the clubs that play in CPL, I think there's one other club essentially that fits my style of play the best, and Calgary is that club. And when the opportunity arose, I got the chance to speak with Tommy, and you know, we had the fantastic chats and connected on levels more than just football, and the decision, you know, was pretty easy after that.
So, and leaving Forge, we should talk about that as well. Like, you know, Bobby obviously plucks you from League One Ontario, from Oakville. I think you were telling me that story about how he just sort of came up to you after a playoff game in 2018 and said, you're in, basically. So what was that conversation like, you know, in leaving Forge? Because I'm sure that was probably a difficult decision, right? Especially after CONCACAF League and everything this fall.
Yeah, no, it was never going to be easy. You know, things moved quickly, and you know, we had some conversations before about how my desire was after the season anyways to go and play abroad, and you know, we said we'd kind of just pick things up when the time came, and there was no kind of rush on like either side, and you know, nothing official ever, you know, came to the table. So when the opportunity for Calgary came, we just kind of took it as it was. And you know, I believe that now that I'll be departing, it'll be on a positive note. You know, Bobby and I will always have a very good relationship, and the outreach from the fans yesterday, I was expecting much worse. to be honest, like, everybody's been really good, you know, like amazing, mostly just positive well wishes and good understanding. I think part of that comes from, you know, I've built some really good relationships with fans on a personal level, and then also, you know, I think on the field, the way that I play also is something that is maybe a bit endearing, you know, just because of the work ethic and stuff. So I think but no. she's just woken up, so she's a bit upset that Daddy wasn't there to be there with her. But yeah, no. So I mean, in terms of just saying goodbyes and leaving and stuff, everything has been positive. Even you know, as far as the media team goes and stuff too, like. It's been well wishes, you know, they said they won't take it easy on me in the content department, but
I love that. There's been a couple of videos that have been floating around of you in the Spruce Meadow stands that I won't play
I imagine they would say
that. Yeah, I mean, those, but like the thing has been that these Cavalry Forge games have always been so fun, and I mean heated, like from the fan level, from the play level. What's it going to be like for you to be on the other side of it? Like, you're going to be on Jose Escalante's team now and not against him. Like, what's this going to be like for you, man?
Well, that's the classic example, right? Jose's that kind of guy you don't want to play against, but you want on your team, you know? I think maybe not to the same extent as Jose, but I can relate to that a little bit. obviously, prior to, you know, signing with Calgary, there was a bitterness there that obviously going the opposite direction won't be the same because it's more bittersweet, right? So there'll be a respect factor, of course. But I think the tensions and stuff in the previous like Calgary Forge games, that comes from, you know, just kind of playing passionately, right? And especially when there's a rival, you know, you wanna stick it to him, right? So I think going forward, it'll be fun to be on the right side of that. And now I've got Edmonton to have those kind of battles with, right? So
how many goals did you score against Cavalry?
I think just two.
Yeah,
I think I looked it up yesterday. You scored. Yeah. Was it Forge's first goal of the Island Games? I think it was.
Yeah.
The I don't know if we called it a bicycle kick or not. Sort of.
Yeah, what did you call it?
Lock. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Good timing, I guess.
Yeah. So we want to ask about Portugal. Condeixa was the club, and you went there kind of on a whim. There's a great story from Northern Tribune about this. You talked to John over there. Like, can you give us a bit of a background about how you ended up playing? What was it like, nine games or something over there, just kind of on a whim, right?
Yeah, for sure. So when the opportunity came, you know, it was very fast, and it was we need a decision today, tomorrow morning, like latest kind of thing. Because they were in the midst of their season and pushing for a playoff run that we were able to get qualified for. So I just went, and initially they were looking for nines. And then by the time I got there, I wasn't needed as a nine anymore. I was playing as a 10 and inverted seven, you know, stuff I've never really done before. But it was a good experience. It was a lot of fun. And unfortunately there was some like a family tragedy that took place here. So I had to return early. That's why I'm in Brantford now. The boys are going to be going for their playoff push shortly. They kick off April 25th, and you know, I'll be supporting them. And it was a lot of fun. I was in a nice city, and COVID restrictions were starting to ease again, so I got to see a bit more of it. I was telling Marty off camera that just you know, it's one of the second oldest cities in all of Europe. I think they have the second oldest university just next to Oxford. So city was full of history, and I don't know obviously what it's like going to other clubs abroad, especially when there's a language barrier, how good the teams are at welcoming foreigners, making them feel there. Because there's a lot of Brazilians, and it's obviously easier for them because they speak, you know, Portuguese. But having not spoken any lick of Portuguese before I got there, the team did like me a lot of favors in terms of making me feel integrated and welcome.
Yeah.
Now I speak more Portuguese, more than a lick.
I was just going to say. Yeah, so and you touched on it there briefly. You weren't playing as a nine, right? You were kind of playing like, can you describe what kind of role you had there, and like, will we see something like that at Cavalry?
Yeah, I think the intention behind signing for Calgary, obviously it's, you know, up to the manager where I play and what I do, and always willing to play wherever for the team, you know, if it's right back or 10, or if it's just not, it doesn't matter if I got to put the gloves back on. But we have a lot of good players in a lot of good positions, and wherever I'm needed, of course I'll play. My intention is always to play my position, and hopefully as long as I get the opportunity to do that, then things will go well.
All right, so you mentioned obviously that you said you're in Brantford right now.
Yeah,
that's pretty far from Calgary.
Yeah.
And you were just telling us off camera before we started how you're getting to Calgary. Could you maybe just tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm gonna pack up the Mazda 3. do the 31,000 kilometer track in the car.
Just you?
Just me. The girls later. They're gonna fly themselves. They're not doing the drive.
So your Mazda 3, are you already trying to whittle down like what you can bring?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to start just with the two bags I flew with to Portugal, and because they're easy to pack and unpack, and that's the majority of my essentials, and anything else will just be lucky, because I got to take my winter tires too. So
really? Yeah. Oh no, dude. So, oh no.
I'm going to have the four winter tires in the trunk, if I can, as long as I can fit them there. And then the back will be the two travel bags and Anything else I can fit that might go nice in an apartment.
Anything you can stuff in there. What are you most looking forward to seeing on the drive? Like, do you have anywhere you want to stop? The big nickel in Sudbury? That's a big one.
I have no idea, but now I'm taking suggestions.
Are you getting a playlist ready? That's a long drive.
The new segment, map out Novak's trip. all the weird things that you just need to see along the way.
Yeah, we'll keep it. Yeah, well, again, anyone listening to this, feel free to send Anthony any sort of suggestions.
Basically, one now.
big nickel. There's the huge goose in Wawa, and then after that, I'm not sure. After you get out of Ontario, I have no idea.
It's all Greek.
It's all. Okay, so before you get to Calgary,
yeah,
we thought we'd maybe prep you a little bit on what it's like to live out there. So this game is pretty simple. It's just a what would you rather. So it's either what would you rather do, what would you rather experience in Calgary.
All right.
So we'll start with something pretty easy. And I think I'm just going to be able to pull this up here where we can all see. I guess we can. So that would you rather skeleton or ski jump?
Ooh. I think I gotta go ski jump. I've got a little bit of snowboarding experience, so maybe that could help. I don't know. The head first down looks a bit daunting to me.
It does seem. I guess we could just flip it back here. This looks very dangerous. Yeah. I guess it just comes down to.
I imagine the head down's probably got some pace as well. They're not going slowly, so.
Yeah, I guess depends on what you're most comfortable with. Okay, that's fair. So obviously, you know, when you step out of your Mazda 3 in Calgary,
yes,
you're gonna have to look the part as soon as you walk out, so no one thinks that you're someone new. So cowboy hat or cowboy boots?
Both and. I've got like two or three cowboy hats from when I was more of a country fan, from I think maybe 22, 23, 24-ish range. I was definitely into it, so I've got a few nice Corona Extra hats, and when I was playing in the Schwann Cup, I swapped jersey for hat with some kid from Texas. So I've got
really
a nice proper one, yeah.
Yeah, then, proper like half, whatever they call those. What do they call those? It's like a half liter or something, gallon.
10-gallon
hat?
Half gallon.
I'm
assuming Anthony Bilal will not be watching this, the quarterback for Lake Erie men's football team during my time there. But me and my friend also stole a couple of his hats at his party when, you know, and we all went to Ohio State for a day trip, and he happened to be there, and I was wearing his hat. But he was so out there that he didn't remember that they were
So was this guy's from Texas, you're saying? Was this guy from Texas?
No, the kid I swapped with the hat with from Texas, I was like maybe 14. I was playing the
show. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Anthony Bilal is, I was early 20s, very early 20s in college.
Okay, so this one, we got to throw this one out here because it makes the most sense. I just have country music versus nothing.
Oh, God.
So I feel like I know where you're going with this one, Anthony.
I think you've already answered this question.
My missus would have me say nothing, but I couldn't just listen to nothing. I'd have to go a little bit of Florida Georgia Line or something like that.
what's your all-time favorite country song?
I used to have a playlist called Songs with Beer in the title. probably Beer for My Horses.
Yes,
that's a good one. Dierks Bentley has like a 6-song EP that's just dedicated to beers, which is admittedly enjoyable.
I respect that a lot.
Is that the one that has Drunk on a Plane on it?
No, but that is a good show.
That's actually a really good song, and I don't even like country music.
Oh,
that's an enjoyable one too.
Yeah, my girlfriend despises when I play that on like the Google Chromecast, like on a Friday, just for no reason.
I feel like I have some previous shades shining through right now. And my girlfriend's going to watch this interview and be like, who are you?
Okay, so very, very quickly, Calgary Stampede. synonymous with Calgary, obviously. Yes. Chuck Wagon Races or Rodeo?
Rodeo.
Okay. Why? What's wrong with Chuck Wagon Races? Those are fun.
I would like to do the rodeo. That's sick.
You wouldn't want to race a chuck wagon. Okay, fair enough.
I would at some point in my life, if the opportunity arose, and you know, football not being what it is, the opportunity to do the rodeo would be really sick.
Do you think it could be second seconds? Calling?
Perhaps.
Okay, anyone in Calgary, see if Anthony can go 8 seconds.
Set it up. I did a bull ride once at a country bar, and I won a prize. So that was maybe there's some experience there that could help me.
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
That's it, man.
Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.